Thank you. Actually, I didn't want to see you leave Grand Forks. I fought that tooth and nail, and you guys left anyway. But that's how it works when you're in God's kingdom and doing God's will. So we really love this church up here. I think of you a lot, pray for you a lot. And every Sunday morning, we have what's called War Room Prayer. That's from that. There's a movie called War Room, right? I didn't see it, but so we have War Room Prayer from 9:30 to 10 at our church, and we always pray for Harvest Community Church. Pray for you folks, and same way we started a little work down in Fargo, North Dakota. So we sent one north, sent one south. Next would be east and west, I guess, and we pray for them as well. And so when we do. The head count, everybody does a head count at church, see how many are at church that Sunday. In my mind, I always include, okay, there's going to be a bunch of people up here, a bunch of people in Fargo, so I kind of include that in our church head count as well. And you folks have been praying for Pastor Eric over the last several months especially, and we're sure glad to see you back on your feet, brother. That was some trial you went through. So there's a praise and answer to prayer as your health is improving. And same way, as I understand, I got an email from Tim a week or so ago. Carol is cancer free. Praise the Lord for that. That's really awesome. That's a mighty work of God. This message I'm going to share, I guess it fits perfectly for New Year's Day. It doesn't even feel like New Year's Day to me. I don't know why. I guess my wife and I had to go to a wedding last night down in Moorhead, picked up one of my grandkids there. He was in the wedding. My son and his wife needed to stay overnight, so we brought him back. Jean would be here today. We're not having a fight. She's usually with me wherever I'm on a Sunday. But that boy was still sleeping when I left the house, so she had to wait for him to wake up. But it doesn't feel like New Year's Day to me. It just feels like another Saturday, Sunday. Maybe it'll kick in this week. I shared this message first back in October. We did a series called Reset, and I was in charge of this message called Resetting the Mind. And interestingly enough, it was on a Sunday, and the day before, I went to bed that night, and Ohio State Buckeye football, that's my team. I used to go to school at Ohio State University, so I love the Buckeyes. And when I went to bed that night on Saturday, the night before, the Buckeyes weren't doing very well. I thought they might lose that game, and I woke up in the morning, I found out they had won in overtime. I don't know how many of you watched the college football playoffs, but I went to bed last night, the Buckeyes were doing really bad, and I woke up this morning, they were doing even worse. They got shut out by Clemson last night, my beloved Buckeyes, 31-0. But life still goes on. The other thing that happened, I just kind of take you back to just some of what was happening in the fall with us in Grand Forks. Some of you are Pastor Pat, one of our pastors up there. His oldest daughter went hunting. Can you put up that first slide, the very first one? Keep it there for a little bit if you would, please. One shot, one kill. So little Kayla went on her first hunting trip with deer hunting, and that was literally one shot, one kill. She had her gun, she had her scope, she took aim, and one shot, and that deer was down. So we have a picture of her right there. Isn't that sweet? She got her deer. I shared about that. And the other thing that happened this fall, my wife and I went to the Sugar Beet Classic. You want to scroll through to that one? There we go. This is the Sugar Beet Classic. It was Red River High School versus, I can't remember, I think it was some Fargo team, Fargo Davies, I think it was. And anyway, a lot of you know Bruce Schindler. He used to play music up here once a month. So his son, Joey, was playing in the Sugar Beet Classic, so my wife and I went there. It was nice because it was inside, it was at the Alera Center. If it would have been outside, I'm not sure I would have gone. So it was inside. But what was pretty neat about that game was just getting in, because you can't see this very well, but it was adults were $8, and then senior citizens 60 and over was $5. So this is the first time we got into one of these where one of us was an adult, my wife and I, the other one was a senior citizen. So guess who was the senior? No, it wasn't me, it was my wife. If you've seen my wife, you know she kind of looks like a trophy wife. She's just beautiful, she's gorgeous, she looks a lot younger than me. But whenever people comment on her, I say, well, I just want you to know, my wife is older than I am. So we got in, instead of $16, we got in for $13. That was kind of made my day, because we went up to the lady at that gives the tickets. I went up there, I said, we need two tickets, one adult and one senior. And she looked at the two of us and she thought, okay, I get it. I said, no, it's not what you think. No, she's the senior, I'm the adult. And she said, I don't believe you. I said, my wife said, it's true, I'm older than he is. So that was the Sugar Bee Classic, but since then I've turned 60 as well, so I can't brag about that stuff anymore. Okay, let's get in the meat of the message here. I'd just like to paint a little picture and a little reference here. Going back to World War II, in 1940, Germany, as we all know, invaded the nation of France. They took over France, and we have a picture of that. So the northern France was the occupied zone. Germany took over northern France. The southern France was a so-called free zone. They called it Vichy France. And it really wasn't totally free. They were really still under the sway of Germany. But in any case, here was an occupied country. The French wanted nothing to do with the Germans, but the Germans came in and they took over. They occupied France. Finally, 4 years later, after D-Day and other battles and campaigns, we got another. Here's a picture of France being liberated in 1944. U.S. forces, other Allied forces liberated France. It was free again. Can you imagine living for 4 years? We don't know what that's like. 4 years in the oppression of a hostile foreign country. Imagine that, coming in, a country came in to the United States and did that to us. Well, today I'd like to talk about some more important real estate, not city, country, state, not earth, not your farmland around you. I want to talk about 6 inches of real estate between our ears, and it's the mind. Like World War II France, the mind can be and is a battleground. The battle against quote-unquote bad thoughts, battle against anger, depression, bitterness, lust, depression, unhealthy patterns, unhealthy thought patterns that want to come in and invade and occupy our minds. And there's ample evidence of the battle going on. Discouragement, depression, anxiety, mental illnesses. Wherever you may be on the spectrum, from a healthy mind to a fully occupied mind, this is for you. And here's how we can reset our minds. And think about this for 2017, how we can reset our minds, how we can get rid of the enemy, and how this real estate here, how our minds can be liberated, just like France was. And it starts by, number one, thinking about God. Just think about God. Isaiah 26:3 reads this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." When we occupy our minds with God, we'll have peace. Our minds will be liberated. The more we think about God, the more peace we'll have in our minds. Now, for some people, they've grown up with an image of God that's distorted because we tend to get our image, our idea of God from our fathers who raised us. And some fathers maybe were flawed, some very flawed, and so our image of God may be distorted. But whether you had a great father or a not so great father, let's say your father wasn't so great, and so you have that distorted image of God, that can be painted over. When we can learn more about God, when we learn about Jesus Christ, Jesus said this in John 14:9. He says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." if we look at Jesus Christ, then we get a perfect picture of who God is. Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, speaking of Jesus, the author says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. It's like, it's not even a photocopy, it's the exact same thing. Jesus, when you see Jesus, you've seen God, God the Father. For a clear picture about God, learn about Jesus. How do you do that? Just read the Gospels. Read the Bible. Read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read about Jesus. We see his compassion. We see his holiness, his righteousness, his forgiveness, all these things. We can paint over whatever picture we may have of God and have an accurate one when we learn about Jesus. Read the four Gospels. When we think lofty thoughts, our minds are liberated, they're freed, and they get reset. Number two, think about what God has done. When I shared this message back in Grand Forks, there's several things that our church was aware of that were answers to prayer and really some real miracles of God that he had done. And I, rather than share about those, think about it. It's sweet that you have a prayer and share time, a prayer and praise time here in Harvest. Think about what God has done. Think about what God has done in restoring your pastor to his health is being restored. I mean, for a while there, you weren't even able to come to church on Sunday. Is that right? He's here now. Think about what God has done. Think about the wonderful works that God has done. And that email that I got from Tim celebrating the fact that his wife is cancer-free, that Carol is cancer-free. Think about what God has done. And you know, we're not only to think about that, we're actually to study God's works. We all have such stories. Think about what God has done in your life. Healings, deliverances, provision, you know, jobs, all sorts of things, gifts of money when you needed it. Psalm 111:12 says this, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Have you done your studies this week? We're supposed to study the works of God. Just look into them. Think about all the ways that God had. Think of all the things God had to put together so that you could be here today, or so that you could be married, you could have kids, so you could have a job, so you could be provided for. Sometimes we think of things as coincidences. There are no such thing as coincidences in God's economy. God orchestrates. We study his works. Psalm 143, verse 5, and there's a typo here, but I remember the days of old, I meditate on all your works, I muse on the works of your hands, not your mind, I muse on the works of your hands. I think about what God has done, and I recognize what God is doing. You know, just even sliding through an intersection on an icy street and think, oh, thank you, Lord, there wasn't somebody coming the other way. I mean, all sorts of things like that, how God is at work. Keep a log, keep a diary of God's answers, his works, and his answers to prayer. When we think about what he's done, it'll relieve anxiety about the future. He's taken care of us up until now. He'll take care of us the rest of the way. It'll reset our minds. Number three, think about what God has written. Think about what God has written. The Bible, God's word, is his gift to us. Nothing like this in the world. His gift to us. He promises that when we memorize and meditate in it, we'll have peace and our minds will be transformed. In 2017, our minds can be transformed. And my mind is always in need of more of a reset, more of a transformation, so I can think more like God. It says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Psalm 91 verse 4 says this, and there's another typo here, his truth, not his trust, his truth shall be your shield and buckler. And by the way, it's not her fault back there that the PowerPoint is wrong. We just got it sent there from Grand Forks, and I didn't even realize it was wrong until I looked at it yesterday. So when I did it in October, I didn't even realize it was wrong. Nobody told me, and they should have. His truth His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Joshua 1:8 says this, some of you probably know this by memory, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may be careful to observe, to do according to all that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous, then you have good success. So for people, anybody here ever have trouble in your minds having thoughts of anger, thoughts of bitterness, thoughts of lust, self-destructive thoughts? There's nothing more valuable that we can do than to memorize and meditate on God's word. There's no therapy, counseling, there's no medication that can do what God's word can do for our mental health. God's word can do it all. So here's what I like to say, bring in the replacements. Little replacement therapy. For every malady of the mind, for every unrighteous or unholy or troubling thought that we have, there's an antidote in the Bible. There's a fix. There's a counter. So for fear, there's an antidote in the Bible. And the most common command in the Bible is what? Do not fear. Over and over again, do not fear. That command is repeated more times in the Bible than any other command. Depression, there's an antidote to depression. There's scripture. And many of our Bibles have in the front or back, there might be, I'm not even sure if mine does. I haven't looked at the back for a while, but, oh yeah, how God can help you. A lot of your Bibles have this. So if you have problems with doubt, turn to Matthew 14:31. I'm not sure what verse that is. Mark 14:40. You have problems with being unforgiving and not sure about forgiveness. Psalm 130, verse 4. And so, or you're not sure about God's love, turn to your Bible, read your Bible, look at those passages that are like an antidote, medicine that will cure what's going on in the mind. The Bible is like soap. The Bible is like soap. It's like magic soap for the mind. Ephesians 5:26 talks about this, the washing of water by the word. The word is the word of God, and the word can wash our minds and cleanse our minds. It'll do it's like a soapy scrub brush. So when our minds are occupied with the word of God, what God has written, the enemy leaves. And here's another one. For all of our thoughts, let them pass through this grid. I call this a grid. Philippians 4:8. Eric read it. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let that be your grid, so that the only things that get through the grid are those that qualify as true, noble, just, pure, etc., lovely. So if I have a thought that's like the thought of unforgiveness, that doesn't get through that grid. It shouldn't. Or anger or bitterness or lust or anything like that. It doesn't get through the grid. If it doesn't qualify, go on to another thought. We can only think one thought at a time, right? Get rid of the one that doesn't qualify and plug in one that does. The book of Philippians is called God's psychology book or God's mental health book. In my version, which you all should be doing the same, reading the same version as me. It's a joke, folks. The word mind in Philippians is used 10 times in the book of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, etc., etc. Read and follow the book of Philippians for good mental health. Finally, this is neat. Neuroscience, and I'm interested in things like this, neuroscience has shown that we can actually make new synapses or nerve connections in the brain. New ones can actually form even in adulthood. And so we can reset our minds by thinking about God, thinking about what He's done, thinking about what He's written. We can have whole new patterns and synapses that can be set. We don't want to be slaves to the enemy anymore. And lastly, this is a bonus here. There's no extra charge for this one. And that's listen to and sing uplifting music, Christian songs, during the week. Put them on your radio. Plug in the CD. Ephesians 5:19 says we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a time when King David was ministering to, he wasn't king yet, David was ministering to Saul. King Saul had some distressing thoughts. He had a distressing spirit. It said David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul became refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. You know what this does? This tells us that some mental disturbances are spiritual in nature, even some of them actually demonic. In uplifting music, music that exalts God, like we sang this morning, helps reset the mind in the spirit. Sometimes in our church at home, sometimes I'll look around and see if people are singing. And I hope you all sing. Sing out loud in church. Let your voice be heard. Let God hear your voice. Sing in church. It'll help reset your mind. Then listen to Christian radio and CDs, and it'll help reset your mind. You know, there really is something to this. The University of North Dakota used to have a major called music therapy. You familiar with that? Music therapy. There's something to music therapy. Well, you don't have to major in it. As long as we can play, we can sing, we can listen to it, and it's music therapy. And I just want to close out before we have something else that we're going to play on the video, the PowerPoint here. France in World War II was not a happy place to be. I'm glad I didn't live then. I'm glad I didn't live under that oppression of Germany. But when it was liberated, the people overflowed into the streets. There was joy. There was rejoicing. There was celebration. There was a reset. There was liberation. God wants to do that with our minds. Now, before we have one more song at the end. Is that right? Before we do that, I'd just like to, some of you probably heard this gentleman before, Pastor Lockridge, and it's called He's My King. So we'll just listen to this, and we're going to think about God as we watch this, and then with that song.